Once again, Paul Harmon here. You're joining us at Hope Chapel. We're in the sanctuary. Boy, we're so thrilled for the technique that we have of live stream audience, but we're going to have communion together, so make sure you find you who are joining us via live stream, and it is live. We're right here on the Pacific Coast time frame, so please gather your communion elements. We'll be having that right at the end of the message. I want to just highlight before we dive into the message, I'm thrilled because next Sunday, ladies, just want to shout it out, it is Father's Day. Yeah, I knew that was going to be a long drawn out, but it is Father's Day. The next Sunday is a big one here at Hope Chapel, and that is going to be our Summer of Love, peace. And that's going to be one service, 10 a.m. We're going to try something. We've not done this before, except at our hub tent when we all met in the tent, but we are not going back to the tent. We're going to be here stationary trying to fit everybody, both services, in here because we've missed each other. We're finding that the pandemic has shifted things where people want to be together, so we are going to be doing just that. Children's ministry will be at 10. Our one service will be at 10. We'll probably be about an hour and a half, and then afterwards, late breaking news, but new, and that is our church council has requested that we're going to be having what we call Koinonia Cookout. So those 10 weeks, we're meeting one time, we'll have barbecued hamburgers and hot dogs. Oh, man. And it'll always be happening. Your typical good donuts and everything else. But please make sure that you have to eat sometime. Why not among family and friends? So it's going to be great. I'm very excited about that. You'll be hearing more, and that's happening. The Summer of Love, the sit-in. How many are part of the Haight-Ashbury Woodstock scene? You're all too young. Stop. Put your hand down. I don't believe. Yeah, it's not good to lie in church, but that's all right. You'll all get a flavor of that this coming summer. We're going to do a sit-in called Summer of Love. We're going to love it because God's going to be doing some great work. Also, Wednesday night's going to be happening because our live groups are closing down for their summer break, but we're going to go into a six-week Wednesday church. Child care will be provided, but it's going to be titled Jesus and the End Times. And so we're going to be taking a look at, if you go on our website and even our newsletter that went out this morning, you'll see the 6 weeks topics. The first week will be why study the end times, and the second week we'll be taking a look at the different perspectives of the end time coming. Just you will need to know. It's just great. It's exciting. And then we always want to make sure Matthew 25:1. Remember that Jesus says, this is what it's going to be like when I come. It's those 10 virgins. 50% are going to have a lot of oil. The other 50 are going to go running dry. And when the bridegroom meets the bride, man, you want to be filled up. So you never know about the infilling of the Holy Spirit, too. So we're going to have a lot of fun this summer, and we're looking forward to it. But I'm equally thrilled that today we get a chance to start a new series. That new series is entitled Our Season to Bless. So that is our series. Today's message a little different, but let's take a look at that for a moment. Our season to bless. We are going back to remind ourselves that as people of God, as God's child, you have every right to bless people. And in so doing, that changes the whole outlook. If you have not said the phrase, God bless you, to somebody, then you need this series. You kind of forget. Sometimes people say, bring a blessing. That must be over the meal today. No. Much more than that. It's very powerful and effective. You'd say, well, I think that's Old Testament stuff. Isn't that one of those Ancient of Days things? Yes, it is. And there's a lot in the Old Testament about the blessings upon people and the transferring of that blessing. But we want you to see through activities and actions how powerful it is when you pronounce a blessing over another person or a parent to a child. And we'll see the parent to the child next week. We're also going to take a time to reclaim family blessings because some people have issues from past generations that are putting a stall gap on what they want to bring forward to their own family and their own relationships. So to be able to see, And to enjoy that, it's going to be very important for us to understand God's design for humanity is that he really wants to bring life and a blessing. And we talk about that abundant life. What is that all about? What is that? And if you don't know what that is, if you're not sure how blessed you are, you will never give away something you don't perceive you have. And that is today's message. But let's look at 1 Peter chapter 3. That is our series verse. Let's see here, because this really launches even into our summer of love. But 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8 and 9, it's up on the screen, but I'm reading from the New Living Translation, where it says, "Finally, all of you should be of one mind, sympathize with each other, love each other as brothers and sisters, be tender-hearted, and keep a humble attitude. Don't repay evil for evil. Don't retaliate with insults when people insult you. Instead, pay them back with a blessing. That is what God has called you to do. And he will grant you," take a look at the three-letter word, "he will grant you his blessing." I want God's blessing, don't you? You could have somebody's gratitude and milk of human kindness, I like you, but you want God's blessing. Man, Proverbs 10:22, you can write that down. It says, "The blessing of the Lord," I like that, don't you? "The blessing of the Lord makes one rich, and he adds no sorrow with it." Yes. So if you say, man, God's with me, but I'm sure going through some difficulty, I like blessing of the Lord. So it's going to be an enjoyable journey we're going to take. And today is very important. To overlook or somehow miss this first part, you're going to just kind of gravitate toward whatever kind of reasoning, conclusion, thought, everybody has an opinion, you'll come to when it talks about blessing spiritually somebody else. But this is important. So when we take a look, we know God wants to bless. We know that the Lord's all about wanting to help people. Matthew chapter 5:45, you can write that down. It says that he's kind to the just and the unjust. God's just all about taking care of people, even if we didn't want to have anything to do with him. But the first blessing that came was on a man named Abraham. Let me speak this blessing over you. You're not going to see it on the screen, but you can write it down. It's Genesis chapter 12, verse 2 and 3, from the English Standard Version. "But God spoke this to Abraham," and that's to come upon people who have faith in Jesus. But let me just speak that. I don't think I'm overstepping something when I say, "And I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you, I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed." God spoke that to Abraham. And we're going to see here some of the references with reference to how we have the authority to bless others. This isn't the only time that God blessed people in the Old Testament. Throughout the Old Testament, you remember fathers giving a blessing to their sons. Do you remember when it was Jacob kind of struggling with his brother Esau to glean the blessing from dear dad Isaac? Then you have Jacob full on blessing all 12 of his sons. It's listed there. It's quite dramatic. In the New Testament, you have the family scurrying to bring their children to Jesus to lay their hands, his hands on and bless the children. So when we talk something about that, that transferring of blessing is significant. It's real, it's tangible. And again, if you don't perceive you are blessed, you will never pronounce a blessing to somebody. You'll hold it back. Like, I have nothing. Got nothing to give. Sometimes you might say, I don't even know how to pray. Well, all of us can say, God bless you. That's very significant if you understand. And today, we're going to go about doing just that. On your notes, you take a look. It's the authority to bless. The message is entitled, Qualified to Bless. Let's take a look. Two areas with which that happens, the legal possession we have, and then second point on your outline is the positional grounds. But let's look at the legal grounds of our blessing, point number one. And I'm going to go to Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. As you see my little subline there, it's your faith in Jesus Christ that qualifies you. Because the blessing of Abraham, his belief in God to do something great in his life, was the same action with which we experience that same abundance that is upon Abraham. All the families of the earth will be blessed. That includes you. If you have faith in Jesus, then you qualify. That's what the word said. I did not throw that out. Let's check it out with me. Galatians 3:7. The real children of Abraham, then, are those who put their faith in God. What's more, the scripture looked forward to this time when God would make the Gentiles right in his sight because of their faith. God proclaimed this good news to Abraham long ago when he said, "All nations will be blessed through you." So all who put their faith in Christ shall or share the same blessing Abraham received because of his faith. So you qualify legally. The grounds for you to bless somebody is because you're the seed of Abraham by faith in Jesus. Ooh. There's something already on your life. That your life, when you say, what does that mean to be blessed? Well, I like the short order is your life will work out. It'll all work out because God is with you in a great way. So I'm living in the blessings of God. That's important. And you would say, well, what are those blessings? And I'm glad you asked. Letter A, seven areas God will bless you for obeying him. Take a look at letter A, seven areas. We're going to look at that. We're going to Deuteronomy chapter 28 in the Old Testament. So you know that old area, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, yeah, Deuteronomy. Let's go to Deuteronomy 28, where we're going to find those blessings. But the qualifier is on your notes as well for obeying God. Now, I'm just going to assume we all know what obedience means, right? If you don't tell me about it now, but go to your life group and say, what really is obedience? Really, that's an important area, so significant. To teach young people, and then I find as a pastor, now I'm teaching older young people how to obey anybody. Because they've never really learned that. Ainsley, my wife and I, when we were just training our children to do right, obedience was a number one factor. It's one of the top tens, right? Verse number five, honor your father and mother. Why would that be so important? How did we go about doing that? Well, we would always discipline disobedience. We would always disciple a mistake. That's a difference. If there was disobedience, in other words, I'm rebelling against Dad, then there would be discipline. You're in trouble, and this is how it's going to look. But spilled milk, that's a mistake. You just disciple them how to do it better, like let's do a Tommy Tippy next time. There's an area where we want to be careful about those things. And one of the areas about just rebelling, what is that? When I find out, and then we would tell our children that you are disrespecting your teacher, you're going to get disciplined. And why would that? It's not so much you disrespected the teacher, you disobeyed your dad because I told you something and you didn't do it. That's the difference. So we discipline rebellion, we could call it that. We disciple a mistake. And as parents and as Christian leaders, we want to do the same. And God does that too. So we can see that these blessings come upon us when we obey. And that's what the Lord's word has to say. So let's take a look here. We deal with Deuteronomy chapter 28. Let's take a look specifically verses 1 through 3 to begin with. It says, "And if you fully obey the Lord your God and carefully keep all his commandments that I am giving you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the world, and you will experience all these blessings if you obey the Lord your God. Your towns and your fields will be blessed." Let's just take a look here for a moment if you fully obey. Those are the words that are used. Carefully keep, another phrase, you will experience. Man, I want to experience. I don't want to just read about it. Like, bring it on. And what is the qualifier? You know, when we have a prophetic word, there's always like, I'm going to bless you, my dear one, I love you. But there's always a premise to this promise over here. What do I need to do in order to experience? And we see here, to fully obey the Lord. I am not perfect at that, but God knows my heart. I really do want to land on the right area where God knows, Lord, that's a tough one you're asking me. I'll try. And then I slip up. But God knows my heart is there, and I'm not trying to shirk any responsibilities. I like in New King James Version, that same verse 2, if you were to have a New King James, it literally says, and all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you because you obey. I like that. It's kind of, seriously, when I imagine something, all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you. It's like, you can't outrun these things. Hallelujah. God's coming after you. He says, I don't care where you. He does come after you. Say, who would want to run from the blessings of God? I have done that. God says to me, Paul, you are too hasty in some of these things. You are not really relying on me. You're too anxious to go after this. Slow down. So it's like, okay, Lord, I'll just wait for that little catching up of your blessing. That's really pretty exciting to be able to see that, and it's important. So God says, don't worry, I'm going to catch up with you. I'm going to bless you. Woo-hoo-hoo! I'm just getting blessed thinking about it. And that's important for you and me as believers in Jesus. You will never give anything you don't currently perceive you have. So let's take a look at some of those. What does God's blessing look like? First of all, on your notes, location. Let's take a look. Location. Bless you wherever you are. Deuteronomy 28:3. Let's extend it a little bit. Your towns and your fields will be blessed. So you take a look there. I just want to say there's a voice that's hearing me somewhere, hearing my voice. And they're probably saying, honey, we need to move some other place to really glean the blessings of God. It's going to be over there. Now, there's nothing wrong with a desire to go to a location or a better spot. But to think in your mind, to say that God's blessing is not currently here, that we have to be careful about. God's word says, I'm going to bless you in towns and fields. I'm going to bless you in the city and country. That's important. So wherever you're at, it's significant to say, Lord, I believe I can have that wherever I live. Whether that's in the inner city, you name it, God will catch up with you. Let's take a look at family now. It says, point, family is blessings upon your offspring. Deuteronomy 28, verse 4, your children and your crops will be blessed. Now, please listen. Sometimes as family members and as church faith family, we always face at times parents, grandparents, like my children are not doing right with God. I would encourage you to take on a spirit where, Lord, I'm going to believe you will bring my children in right relationship with you. Your offspring will be blessed. Now, I don't know when you or I will experience that with them. God will bring your children or your offspring in right relationship. We would like to have that here on planet Earth before we all get exited up to heaven. But I'll know this, God will make sure they arrive. And that's important for us. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 14, you can write that down. Literally says even that if you are the only Christian in that marriage and you're married to an unbeliever, your children are holy. That's important. So dear Christian, hang in there. Don't get just moved over one way or the other to bring somehow a settling in. Hang in there in your faith to Jesus. Your children are blessed by that. That's what the scripture is telling us and encouraging us, keep it going. Let's take a look at another one. Vocation on your notes. Blessings upon whatever work you're in. We're back at verse 4 again. It says, the offspring of your herds and flocks will be blessed. Now, God's speaking to an agricultural society. Their livelihood was basically farming and livestock. But we could say, literally, the vocation that you're in, whatever you do, as you are obeying God, God will bless you. I believe that. I've experienced it. I like that. It's like, how come they seem to have all the breaks? Because they're probably walking it out with the Lord in obedience to Him. Next one, supply. Bless you with a present supply. Or I just put in there enough for now. If you look at verse 5, it says, your fruit baskets and bread boards will be blessed. When you take a look, enough for now, what is that like? Remember when Jesus teaching on how to pray, it's at Matthew chapter 6, verse 11, when he says, oh yeah, don't forget to pray this, and Lord, give us this day our daily bread. Something about that. When I take a look at you, yeah, it looks like you, all of you are doing well. You haven't missed a meal. I can tell. Look at that. You just look healthy and full and content. But the Lord is so good that way. He meets our supply. It's important that we consider that. You remember, we've just come through 1 Kings. We're into 2 Kings in our annual Bible reader. I'm sure glad about that. In chapter 17 of 1 Kings, remember when Elijah the prophet went to Zarephath where there was that widow? There's a famine in the land. God says, you go meet up with this gal. She and her son are going to have their last meal because that's all the food they have, flour and a little oil. And then her positive confession to the prophet, I'm going to make a little cake and then we're going to die. Isn't that? That's really positive. He said, don't fear not. He's dealing with her fear. You do what you said, but give it to me first, the prophet said. Now, that's a great thing. If you've not learned giving God first things, that's probably going to be your best step forward in an area of obedience to bring further blessing. Yes, sir. And she did. And it's amazing because that little cruse of oil and that little tin of flour never ran out till the famine lifted up. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Isn't it great? I mean, we need things like that. Amen. Going through the society that we currently are in, because people are really quite struck by inflation and the uncertainty, will we have enough? Didn't we just come out of hoarding toilet paper? What was that all about? So it's important that we take a look and understand that. Let's go to daily duties. Bless the daily demands. Daily demands. In verse 6, I'm still in Deuteronomy 28, 6. Thanks for keeping with us. It says, in whatever you do, wherever you go and whatever you do, you will be blessed. You will be blessed. Take a look at that for a moment. I get up in the morning and I head out to my daily duties. I'm blessed. I'm coming back on into the house. Hey, I am blessed there. I'm telling you, it was great to go wherever I go because the blessing is with me. People are blessed just hanging out with me. I just thought I'd throw that out there. I'm coming home. It's like, honey, the blessing has arrived. Where's my dinner? Anyway, it's important to recognize because that's what the Word of God says. I would encourage you to get a 3x6 card and you put in there wherever you go and whatever you do, I will bless you. I like the New King James rendering. Many of you are familiar with that. It literally says this so clearly, God will bless you. You will be blessed when you go out and bless you when you come in. You go out the door, put that postcard there. I'm blessed going out and I'm coming back in. Get one on the screen door, coming on in. I'm blessed coming in. That's so good. To remind yourself, you will never give a blessing that you don't perceive you have it yourself. God says that He will bless us. Now, I want to add that. I often tell Christians, put that up somewhere where you see it. I'm blessed going out, and I'm blessed coming in. I am blessed wherever I go and whatever I do. Why is that important? Because I still find from time to time there are Christians that will check their horoscope before going out the door. And that's tragic. That means you're a spiritual person, but you're going after the wrong spirit, and it will end in disaster. Do not do that. So be careful about that. And therefore, as we look here, I often tell Ainsley, honey, come here. You are the most blessed woman in all the earth. She'll giggle and laugh. She goes, I know. And she'll cite something that we have together. But honey, you're blessed because look at how good you are to me. You look great. You cook great. I think it's really because I benefit. But it's so true. We benefit from each other's blessings. It's so good. You need to bless a person by saying, man, I bless you. You have a blessing upon you, and it's important that you express that blessing to others. So, wherever you go, whatever you do, God says, I will bless you. I will bless you. So, I think it's going to be important. How about victory in battle? Let's take a look at that next area. Bless you in time of battle. Check it out in verse 7, Deuteronomy 28, 7. Says, the Lord will conquer your enemies when they attack you. They will attack you from one direction, but they will scatter from you in seven directions. Now, please understand when I say that, you say, wow, really? The promises of God is never a promise that you will not come across conflict or stress or struggles or afflictions or even sustained warfare. Please understand that. That's not the promise that God gives. The enemy will attack you. People who have no heart of God will attack you. The enemy will love to attack you that way. My concern for well-meaning Christians, in their smallness of mind, they think that if they go through struggles or they observe somebody going through struggles, they must be disobedient or they're probably sinning. That's not it at all. We've got to be careful and don't go thinking that. We don't know what another man or another woman's thinking. So it's important here in verse 7, when the enemy attacks you, you hold your ground. You hold your ground in the grace of God. God just says here in his word, there'll be such a blessing that'll come upon you that when the enemy comes in, he'll be so fragmented and disjointed, they'll flee seven directions. Glory to God. Amen. That is perfect victory. That is perfect victory. They come in one way, they dissipate and go in all directions. They look confused. I've seen it. I love it. I like Proverbs when it says, when a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. I like that better, but when a thing is, and they just keep coming on, God promises a blessing, a victory in battle. How many know 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14? Now thanks be to God, it says, who always gives us or causes us to triumph in Christ Jesus. Always. I like that. So when we take a look here, it's going to be important. Watch out about that. How God will come through, man, I love that. Come out ahead in times of struggle. Let's take a look at enterprises. Blessings upon your creative ideas. We look here at verse 8. It says, the Lord will guarantee a blessing on everything you do and will fill your storehouses with grain. The Lord your God will bless you in this land he has given you. God will bring prosperity upon you. Wherever you go, it's amazing, just a little bit of stick-to-itiveness, just a little bit of longevity. Watch how prospering comes. Remember, it does pay to be obedient. It does pay to be obedient to the Lord in more ways than just somebody saying monetarily. And it really lays out here, let's finish off that chapter 28, 9 through 13. Let's check that out together. I like that because just why don't you say with me, pays to obey. Say that, would you? Pays to obey. One more time. Just sounded good. Pays to obey. Yeah. And we may not even be doing it that perfectly, but our heart is we want to obey the Lord. It says in verse 9, if you obey the commands of the Lord your God and walk in his ways, the Lord will establish you as his holy people, as he swore he would do. Then all the nations of the world will see that you are a people claimed by the Lord, and they will stand in awe of you. The Lord will give you prosperity in the land he swore to your ancestors to give you, blessing you with many children, numerous livestock, and abundant crops. The Lord will send rain at the proper time from his rich treasury in the heavens and will bless all the work you do. You will lend to many nations, but you will never need to borrow from them. If you listen to these commands of the Lord your God that I am giving you today, and if you carefully obey them, the Lord will make you the head and not the tail, and you will always be on top and never at the bottom. It pays to obey God. That's really what our founding fathers established Christian principles in America. Boy, that's good. Our nation is not very old. We're really quite prosperous. That in itself is a reminder that just doing Christian principles, even when you're not even a true Christian, can really benefit entire people around. Yes. God's principles are true. God's principles are active. So again, we will never give a blessing if we perceive we have not received that blessing ourselves. Let's take a look at number two, that second area, positional grounds for our blessing or a blessing of others, because we've been made priests of God. Exodus 19:6 talks about that. You can write it down. But let's go to 1 Peter chapter 2 that describes that literally because Jesus is our great high priest. He is making, we could say, contemporary priests by just saying, why don't you go out and just bless people as I have. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5, and it says, and you are living stones that God is building into a spiritual temple. What's more, you are his holy priests. And through the mediation of Jesus Christ, you offer spiritual sacrifices that please God. Wow. Now, it says that in numerous places. Let's just slide down a little bit to verse 9. And it says this, but you are not like that, for you are a chosen people. You are royal priests, a holy nation, God's very own possession. And as a result, you can show others the goodness of God, for he called you out of the darkness into his wonderful light. Jesus has done so much to qualify you to be people who can bless others. That's my encouragement to you. You say, well, I have nothing to offer. Well, you have Jesus Christ and that faith and that blessing of Abraham and the blessings we've just laid out. Who wouldn't want to hang tight with Almighty God when he wants to just do you so good? I do want to add and just kind of finalize this as we prepare for communion. Blessings will never come to another person if they don't hear those blessings. We're going to see that God said, this is how you bless my children. In Numbers chapter 6, verse 23 to 27, we'll see that next time we're together. God says, hey, high priest, this is how you'll bless the nation of Israel. Speak words over them, and I'll put my name on them, and they will be blessed. I'll put my name means I'll take and put my character, put my reputation, put my very nature upon them. Ooh, there's something to this blessing element that's so real, so tangible, it's effective. It must come from you by reason of a spoken word. It must come by you. We'll describe how Ainsley and I have done that for our own children and now our grandchildren. It comes the same way like being born again. As we prepare for communion, I have one last verse. It's Romans chapter 10, verse 14. It says, how will people get saved without them hearing about the gospel? They'll never. We assume people are just going to get saved and just some miraculous angels show up. God says, no, you're my You're my ingredient to get people saved. We just assume people are going to know to get water baptized or spirit filled. They'll just know. No, they need to be told. And we just assume people will know they're blessed. No, they need to have that spoken over them. Look what Romans 10:14 says. But how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they have never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless somebody tells them? I am telling you some things today, and I'm hoping that in the name of Jesus, no fowler will come and rip off the word from your soul where it would not bear fruit. That the word of the Lord is so powerful. I like it when God says finally, like in Isaiah 55:11, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void. It shall accomplish what I intend for it and prosper in the thing which I've sent it. Isaiah 55:11. You get a word, boom, it's going to grow. It will produce. It will benefit you. But don't hang on to it. You have been blessed so that you can pass that blessing on to others. And that's our series. That is our series. It's our season to bless. It's the kingdom stuff, the kingdom, then you. So as we prepare for communion, let's grab our communion elements. Let's enjoy that together. I've got mine. I hope you have yours there at home, please. Whether that's maybe a cup of juice or maybe your favorite beverage, but certainly something of bread, anything to remind ourselves the beauty of the body and blood of Jesus Christ. You might say who are here today, or you who are joining us here live stream, please don't turn me off yet. Say, well, I don't feel like I'm very blessed. I don't really have anything that I really, other than maybe my kids want my will. Maybe they want my assets. They need Jesus and they need God's blessing. God's blessing. So we're going to start this communion with the juice. Jesus says, the shedding of blood, without it, there's no remission of sins. If you're needing to surrender your life to Jesus today, let's do that right now. Let's start you up with that legal position to bless others. If you're needing to recommit your life, boy, nothing is as miserable as a backslidden Christian. But what a great day. You're here with us. It's not an accident. Let's hold our portion up. Jesus says, this is representing my blood shed for you. Oh, thank you, Lord. Let's enter into covenant with him. Oh, man. And benefit all these that we've just encouraged ourselves with. So, Lord, as we hold our portion up, each and every one of us say, Jesus, you're my Lord. And I surrender everything to you. So, Lord, right now, we thank you in Jesus' name. Let's go ahead and let's have that cup together. Let's take that little wafer. One of the benefits of being born again is the joy of having a God who heals, who puts things that are shattered, broken, probably even sometimes dead in our lives, he resurrects. Oh, I love that about God. That's when life gets exciting. It's like, there's no hope for that thing or that person. And then he does something that's mind-boggling. Take a look at all of us. We're quite a walking miracle, are we not? We hold that portion up. I always like to snap my wafer to remind me that Jesus' body was battered so that healing can abound. Lord, heal, bring healing. Some of us need physical healing, emotional healing, dreams that have been just shattered, healing, Lord. Areas that we're moving forward in, we're going to believe, Lord, sound mind and heart. Lord, we want to give you our best now. Lord, we ask touch, deliver, set right in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's go ahead and we'll participate together. Well, dear friends, I'm sure excited that we get a chance to journey together. It's going to be a great summer, and it's already started today. Let's sing a great, wonderful, enriching song. I'm going to invite you to stand to your feet just before we dismiss Lance coming forward. But God bless you. Give you a good Sunday nap. I want to thank you for joining us today at Hope Chapel, Huntington Beach. It's our desire to bring the teachings of this church to others globally. If today's message has brought you closer to Jesus, we want to know. Can you send us an email to office@hopechapelhb.org? Would you consider supporting this ministry financially? You can give securely online at hopechapelhb.org/give. If a check is your preferred method, you can send a mailed check to Hope Chapel, P.O. Box 548, Huntington Beach, California, 92648. If you want to be contacted by Hope Chapel, would you consider subscribing to our weekly newsletters at hopechapelhb.org/subscribe? Whatever season of life you're in, we want to go through it with you. We want to thank you once again for joining us, and God bless you.